Welcome to Resiliency Radio with Rick Allen and Lauren Monroe. Interactive radio to empower, educate, and inspire during difficult times. Featuring live interviews with celebrity guests and cutting-edge professionals working in the fields of health, wholeness, and resiliency. This program is brought to you by the Raven Drum Foundation's Veteran Resiliency Project and is dedicated to all our military and their families. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ravendrumfoundation.org.
I think we're supposed to start now.
Welcome to Resiliency Radio, everyone.
You sound so professional when you do that, you know, that big build-up there. It's great.
Yes. I'm Lauren Monroe, everyone, and I'm here with my very cheeky co-host, Mr. Rick Allen, everyone.
Indeed.
Yes.
Thank you.
They're excited to see you.
Thank you. A bit of a party atmosphere here tonight. I can feel it. It's in the air.
Oh, we have a great show coming up. See, they're very excited.
They are. They are. They are. Mr. Serge Tankian is going to be our guest. What do you have to say about that?
Serge Tankian is going to be our guest tonight. Calm down, everyone. Rick's broadcasting in the nude again. Gets people very excited.
I thank you for that. I want everybody to count how many times I thank Serge during our interview.
Well, this interview was taken, it's pre-recorded. So we had the privilege of speaking with Serge a few weeks ago before he went out to...
on tour.
Yes, yes. And he's touring at the moment, so he couldn't be here with us. So we recorded the interview. It was such a great interview, and he's such a wonderful person. He's full of so much information and creativity, and we had a blast, you know, just talking to him.
But I thanked him a lot.
You did thank him a lot.
I probably over-thanked him. But you know what?
And I thank you for that.
I know, but I have so much respect for this guy. He's fantastic. He's really just a great example to all of us in terms of resiliency and just everything that he's gone through in his life, you know, so I thank him for that.
Yeah, he's a great inspiration. He's an activist. He's a humanitarian. He's a musician who really puts his heart into his lyrics and his music making. And so we hope you all enjoy it. After the show, we will be having a drum circle, doing some healing work with everyone.
Or after the interview, at least.
Yes. Yes, after the interview. And,
is that what you meant to say?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
And then we'll be taking some questions. So if you want to call in, you'll speak to the lovely Carolyn McCluskey, and she'll pick your call up and put you in the green room so you can listen to the show and then ask us a question.
I thank you for that, Lauren Monroe. No, I really do. I thank you for that.
Well,
thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
So here we go, peeps. Enjoy the interview. Welcome back, everyone. You're joining us on Resiliency Radio, and we have a very special guest on the line, a musician, singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, producer, poet, and political activist. We have Serge Tankian here with us on the line. Everyone, please welcome Serge.
Thank you. Thank you. How's it going, guys?
Really good.
Excellent.
Thanks so much. Me and Lauren, we've been really blessed to have met you. And we've had several conversations, and you know, the more we find out about you, you are just such a bright light. You're really an inspiration to us, and I'm sure as other people start to find out about you and your history, they will also be inspired by you. So. Thank you so much
You're
for doing
excellent.
This.
Thank you.
Oh, it's cool, man.
My pleasure.
So your history, well, in reading your bio and learning more about you, you were born in Beirut in Lebanon, and you're Armenian, and your parents were too, obviously, but you came to L.A. in 1975 mm-hmm. when you were young. And then you started evolving into, you know, becoming a musician after tapping into the electronic computer world. Is that right?
Well, kind of. Yes, my parents migrated with us in 75, right at the start of the Lebanese Civil War. Grew up in Hollywood, went to an Armenian school there, went to college in Northridge, Cal State Northridge, and got a marketing degree from there, of all things, and... Mm-hmm. Then went on to work in the jewelry industry for years with my uncle and did a lot of interesting things. And I've been in a lot of different businesses. Years later, I started my own software company. This is all before music, actually. And so I had this software company for 5 years. And the reason I started my own software company was to be able to have more time to do my music so that I wouldn't have a full 9-to-5 type of job. And and that company started doing well, and so I had to kind of kill my own company to follow my vision strictly with music. And so, you know, when the time came that crossover was done, you know.
Yeah, and listening to
I started playing music when I was like 19 or 20.
Right, right. So, when listening to your music and your poetry and seeing the type of artist that you are, it seems, you know, to us that you're... Music comes from a very, very deep place that's very sacred in a way to put it and has deep meaning to you. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted you to be on the show is because, you know, your life and your history, we imagine, has a lot of moments where you've chosen resiliency and you've chosen the path of music and being an activist as a way to heal yourself and other people. So we'd love for you to share some of those experiences, you know, that brought you to deciding to be a musician and a messenger the way you are.
Right. Well, it's kind of funny because it's not, like I said, not what I had in mind when I was young. It's not something, you know, when I was young, my parents actually bought me a guitar and wanted to get me piano lessons and whatnot, and I was completely disinterested. I was very focused on my studies and things of political nature at the same time, growing up in a very activist-oriented Armenian community in Los Angeles. And when I got to college, I started tinkering around and playing keyboards, and I realized what a huge passion music is for me. And then a few years later, I realized that that's my vision. I almost had to go to the edges of who I'm not to realize who I am in terms of my vision with music. Caught on to that, though, it was a very, you know, I was hungry for it, you know, so I did it like I was a madman, like feasting, you know.
Wow. That's so beautiful what you just said, and it's really profound too.
Yeah, that kind of leads us on. We were talking about this earlier, and in my own past, I had to make a lot of choices to be resilient, and still do. And it all plays into being vulnerable as well. But what choices have you made when choosing to overcome challenges, either socially, musically, or personally?
Wow. Musically, there's a lot of interesting challenges, but they all, you know, teach lessons. One example that comes to mind is my new record that I'm working on. I wanted it to be electronic and orchestral all at the same time, and the two different vibes weren't jiving together, and so I had to figure out a way of creating a bridge between them. I presented myself with my own challenge,
right,
and worked through it and got some advice and played around with it, and I figured it out, and to me that was fun. I think, you know, socially, I've had a, you know, I don't want to say I've had a challenging life socially, because I've had a lot of great friends and people around me that have been very supportive. My family's been extremely supportive in my career choices and everything that I've done. However, I've had a lot of challenges politically, especially, you know, after 9/11 and a lot of the things that happened. You know, I have a hard time shutting up what you know. if something's really dear to my heart, and I'll say it, and I've gotten into a lot of trouble for it, but in the end, it's all cleared up, and because I only speak out of, you know, out of love, and it's only the truth, or at least what I perceive to be the truth,
right,
with respect. So, you know, those are the challenges, I guess, that I've faced. Personal challenges always exist. They're in every day.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's exactly, you know, the fact that sometimes expressing the truth can get you into trouble. But I think that's one of the things that is really dear to us, is the fact that, you know, you're able to express yourself in so many different ways. And, you know, at the end of the day, all you're doing is speaking the truth. And I think that is very admirable. We really look up to you for that. It's fantastic.
You know, there's many people
I look up to you for that as well.
Oh.
You from the time that I've known you, you're you know, a very inspiring person. Both of you guys, actually.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So thank you. You've lived my life as well. Thank you.
Hmm.
There's many people that we've met doing the work that we do with Raven Drum who have experiences of injustices that have been done to them or around them or in their family. And so, you know, I'm hearing that your passion and that seed inside of you is injustice. When injustice happens, you can't even tolerate it. You need to speak up about it. You have pain because of it. And that's a beautiful quality. And I ask myself when I'm with people, and our goal is to share with them some knowledge, if you have an injustice done to you and you can't do anything about it, how do you still become resilient? How do you, if you can't express yourself, if you can't, you know, write a blog, or if you can't, you know, create music, how are some ways that you may be able to heal yourself? I just wanted to share that question with you to see if,
yeah,
you know.
It's quite an interesting question. I mean, you know, there's many forms of expression, but expression is not the only way to seek justice. Action is ultimately the way to seek justice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not sure what the propensity of someone without the ability to express themselves would be to take action. However, you know, there's many ways of taking action, and there's many ways of expression as well.
There's one quote there's a quote that I'm reading of yours, and it says, and I hope this is your quote, forgiveness is the ultimate sacrifice. Eloquence belongs to the conqueror.
Yeah. What do I mean by that, I assume, is your question. forgiveness is the ultimate sacrifice. I think what I meant, it was a few years ago, and I think what I meant was, you know, When you forgive, you're forgiving not just the person that you're forgiving, but you're forgiving yourself in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiving is both a selfless and a selfish act altogether, because we're all tied in together, obviously. And so by forgiving someone and taking that negativity out of your thought patterns toward them, you are also healing yourself simultaneously.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
And as far as the eloquence belongs to the conqueror, it's always the winners of wars that get to write history. Howard Zinn was a great example of someone who taught us that was the case by writing the book, A People's History of the United States, and brought that to our attention that, you know, it's always the victors that end up writing history. So I think that's kind of what I meant by it.
Mm-hmm. That's a really powerful quote when I read it.
It is. One of the things you said before, you know, obviously we're all in this together, we're all connected. I think that's one of the problems is that, you know, so many of us see separation. You know, we don't
yeah.
necessarily always experience, you know, the oneness and the fact that we are all in this together. And I think that's so profound that, again, you know, you speak the truth, and I really appreciate that.
Sure. I've always thought that, you know, like a lot of people that follow you know, things having to do with the Bible or manuscripts from the past that point to a certain period in our life, you know, the separation of good and evil, for example, to me, the separation between those that perceive everything as one and those that don't. I've always seen it that way for some reason.
That's fantastic. I get that.
When we're listening to you speak, and also when I'm listening to your music, it feels to me that you're a very, you're a reflective person, and you contemplate a lot about life. But do you also have any kind of spiritual or physical practice that helps you in times of stress, like maybe the way your diet or exercise or meditation or anything like that?
Absolutely, I love. I've kind of set up a little ritual for myself in the mornings when I get up. I usually, you know, have something to drink, like a coffee or a tea, and I'll meditate for a bit, and then I'll do about 15 minutes of yoga, and then I'll take the dog out and get some air, get some sun, and kind of build up a little light sweat, you know, just a low impact kind of exercise,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll either run outside or inside on the treadmill for about half an hour, shower and start working. It's kind of a combination of a lot of different things, you know, using the mind with the body, you know, and then working and enjoying the day, you know, it's kind of like giving thanks and then doing the full capacity run, because as we get older, our bodies need that, you know.
Right.
The body's slowed down, so we got to speed up, you know.
Yeah. That's good. Well, you know, it must be working, because every time I see you, you have a big smile on your face, and all the people I know that know you, you know, they all speak very highly of you, and, you know, you obviously bring a lot of joy to people's lives. So that's...
Thank you, brother. Thanks,
what you're doing is working.
Yeah. So, one of the other things that we work with Raven Drum, when we work with others that are specifically in crisis and facing challenges, is that we work with subtle energy. And we use music as a vehicle to help others in experiencing their own energy. We use intent. And we were just watching your latest video with the orchestra. And I got a chance to see you in a way that, as a seer, I really noticed how you work with subtle energy while you're on stage. I don't know if this is something that you know, you have awareness of. I'm guessing you do, because you've been doing this for so long. I just want to know your experience of subtle energy while you're on stage performing, between you and the crowd, between you and the band or the musicians that you're working with. What is that experience for you?
Quite magical. I'm not very familiar with the term subtle energy, and I don't know if I'm very conscious of how it works. But when we're on, you know, when I'm on stage, or we're on stage with the band or the orchestra, there, you know, the energy exchange between the people on stage, the energy exchange between myself and the crowd, back and forth between all the musicians. It's a very special, I guess, when you're all there for the same purpose, you know, having that purpose in mind and gelling together, and number one, enjoying each other and having a good time on a positive note, and number two, learning something from the experience. That to me is the special aspect of it. You know, sometimes when you feel an audience when you're on stage, Rick knows, you know, when you're on stage and you feel the energy of the audience. I don't know if I could put it into words, but you're immediately either really comfortable or a little nervous or a little overly excited, or like you feed off the energy back and forth. You can't help it. It's very subtle. Like you said, it's subtle energy, but it's very effective. And when it's that perfect exchange between the audience and the band or the artist, a lot of beautiful transfer occurs, energy transfer, and it's amazing. It's nothing like anything I've ever experienced in any other part of my life.
No,
it's pretty special.
I would agree with that. I call it the zone, and you know, that heightened sort of sense of yourself, you know, that nervousness before you're going on. I don't know whether you experienced that, but that all kind of settles down as I settle into the zone. And once I'm in the zone, it's almost like there's no such thing as mistakes. You know, your recovery rate is just, you know, you just segue straight into something else, and you're just feeding off the audience or feeding off the people that are around you. And it's almost like I say, you know, when you're in that place in the zone, which is very inexplicable, it's just nothing can really go wrong. It's a gift.
Yeah. I think it's good to have people, when you're in that zone, whether it's the band members or orchestra or whatever, to have really good energy coming from them. It's almost imperative, I feel, because otherwise it feels like it could block it. I just thought of that for some reason.
Well, no. Intent, that's where intent comes in.
Yeah, it's like you were saying before, as long as everybody's there for the same reason and the intention is the same, then it must be exponential, you know, the fact that this energy builds up, you know, in any given space between a group of people. I mean, it's, yeah, that's it really. But like you say, it's like trying to describe chocolate, you know? I mean, it's almost without words, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I have a question about spiritual warriorship. Have you ever heard of that term? Spiritual warriorship?
Kind of.
It's the term that really defines discovering that your greatest enemy is really yourself, and it's the journey within to conquer really the mind, because the mind is the saboteur and separates you from everything. And so one of the things that we've discovered, and I know, Rick, we all discover this time and time again, and on your journey you talk about it quite a bit, is that you have to shine a light on the dark things in order to reach for resiliency. And I think, you know, in your past, when we're looking at the way you live your life and shining light on the injustices that are being done in the world, How does this path of spiritual warriorship play a part in your life, if you can find an answer from that question?
Right. Well, obviously it's very important to shine light into the darkness of yourself, and of society itself in general, and have things revealed. Personally and also politically, the Armenian genocide issue was a good example of that. The fact that it was, you know, denied by the perpetrators or the, you know, generation of the government of Turkey that took over the Ottoman Empire, that officially denies the fact that it was genocide, and its kind of political expedient partners over in the U.S. and the U.K. that within our government that allow that kind of hypocrisy to occur, to me was as a young adult growing up in Los Angeles, was a huge wake-up call. And I thought to myself, wow, this is just one small issue, not even on people's radars, that is a truth that's being denied for political expediency or economic, you know, necessity or belief. What other truths are there that are being denied? For what other reasons? For what other ulterior motives? And that, to me, was a huge kind of awakening to all sorts of liberation struggles and all sorts of injustices around the world. In fact, I have an idea of writing a book which deals with the kind of meeting of spirituality and injustice. It's a very important kind of thing to me. It has been, at least politically and definitely musically, a huge kind of springboard for me. Injustice is amazing for content as far as what it gets you motivated to do, you know?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. I think listening to some of what you were saying there, it's really, in some of my experience, you just described the human condition and the fact that it is really a paradox. Sometimes it's, you know, we're walking contradictions. You know, I think it's that fight with ourselves Or as Lauren said earlier, that fight with the mind. Time and time again, we see leadership get themselves into trouble because of their own flaws or living in the human condition.
Right.
You know, and it's more just reiterating what you just said, and it's wonderful to hear it from you and hear it from somebody that, you know, again, is so active, and you know, you've experienced these things. You've experienced these brick walls. You know about red tape, and it's really refreshing to hear it from somebody that's experienced it. So we thank you for that.
Thanks. Thank you, bro.
How do you think music can change consciousness and help create a world of love and peace? I'm reading another quote that I saw by you, and it says, "Civilization is a failure. We need to think what we can do together in love and peace." And so the question is, how do you think music can change consciousness and help create a world with love and peace?
Well, music, as we know, is an intuitive, powerful intuitive medium. That's why a six-month-old child can listen to a song and have a reaction to it as a 35-year-old man or woman. And because, you know, they don't have to know the lyrics, they don't have to have logical processing going on to really appreciate their intuitive power of music, where it's wrapped up both on the left and right side of the brain, with the lyrical and thought-provoking going to the left side of the brain and the guttural musical kind of expression going to the right side of the brain. It's a very, very beautiful and powerful tool. The way that I see music making an effect on people is affecting their hearts. I think that when we're moved by music, eventually our heart will over speak to our minds. It doesn't to me go directly to our minds. It goes to our hearts, and then our hearts are able to translate it to our minds, and our minds can eventually change about the world. So I see it that way. It's a process, and it's not direct. It's subtle. Mm-hmm. Second question, I think, was regarding the quote having to do with civilization. It's kind of funny. I've been, when I released my first solo record, Elected Dead, that seemed to be the point that I was kind of hammering in a couple of years ago, which is civilization is over. What do we do next? You know, and I still believe that. I believe that we're living the apex moment, the peak of destruction. We see it around us in natural disasters. We see it around us in science that shows us that the amount of resources that we have, and on one side, and overpopulation and increasing population levels on the other side, make for a very weird place to live unless we live a certain way immediately, or it may even be too late for that. So in that, to me, it's both science and spiritual knowledge that guides us and tells us, wow, you know, this is not happening. I had the huge privilege of meeting the Dalai Lama a few years ago, and I asked him two questions directly. And one was, the first one, which we covered earlier, was what is the intersection of spirituality and justice? And get a beautiful response to that, and I'm going to start my book with that thought. But the second question I asked was this. I said, you know, in my opinion, civilization is over or ending, and, you know, what do you see happening next? And the first thing I remember him saying was, it's important to feed the southern hemisphere. That's literally the first thing he said. Then he talked about the, you know, explosion of the middle class in China and India and the migration that is going to happen based on the lack of rain that we're starting to experience around the equator and equatorial lands, and, you know, water's rising and all of that. And he literally had, he left because he had about 6 minutes to answer. He had to leave. That was the last question.
Wow.
And he goes, thanks for that. Thanks for that lobby.
Wow. That's brilliant. I that's one person I would love to meet. But, you know, I'm just glad I'm glad somebody that I know has met him and posed those questions because, you know, it's a worry to all of us. So thank you. Thank you for that.
I love what you said about the, I love what you said about how the heart becomes and what we call a dominant frequency and how when the heart gets filled, and it is a process, how music can almost train the heart to have a different frequency about it so it can be an intelligence to the mind. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but it's pretty fascinating that the heart, actually the organ of the heart, just like our guts, we have neopeptides in the heart and in the gut that mimic the same type of peptides, neuropeptides, as in the brain. So we have intelligence in our heart and in our gut. So when someone has a gut feeling, it is an intelligence that's there. And same thing with the heart intelligence is pretty immense. And so I really, what you said about the heart, it's so true. We're finding that music is just, it's universal. We need no language at all. And that people, you know, people can come together and celebrate, and with the intention, like you were speaking about before, we can really change consciousness in a wonderful way. So,
absolutely.
Loved your answer. I want to hear more about your non-for-profit, Axis of Justice. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Myself and my friend Tom Morello from the band Rage Against the Machine, we started Axis of Justice in 2002, and originally it was a way of getting different nonprofit organizations under one umbrella to be present at these music festivals that we were having, whether it's Ozfest or Bonnaroo or Coachella, and to give people, our fans, more than just things to purchase. You know, to give them, you know, things to learn or things to be involved in on an activist level. And so that was the original intent and beginning of Axis of Justice. Since then, it's been, you know, it's been 8 years, and we've had a radio show for 3-4 years on KPFK and Sirius Satellite. We've interviewed a lot of people, just as yourselves, from Noam Chomsky to Howard Zinn to Michael Moore to just some amazing people.
Wow.
We've had our website, which is an alternative source of information, that's at accessofjustice.net. And so we always post stuff about that. We've held a number of benefit concerts over the years, benefiting different causes from labor to environmental to homeless to feeding to tsunami relief, you name it, genocide recognition. And, you know, we've done work on a lot of different things. We never stuck to one thing and focused, as most organizations tend to do for good reason.
Right.
But because Tom and I are always just jumping into one whirlwind or another personally through our own activism, Axis of Justice eventually became our organizing body in the middle. And that's really what it is, yeah.
Wow, it's powerful work.
Really. Fantastic. Could you tell us a little bit about your new album and the upcoming tour? We're really excited to hear when we can get to hear the music and if we can get a chance to see you.
Awesome, bro. We just finished mixing my new solo record called Imperfect Harmonies. We're going to be releasing that the end of summer, around late August, early September. We're going to be setting up a bunch of shows in the U.S. in September, October, with the band and also full orchestra. So it'll be a nice hybrid of live performance and full orchestral performance, covering the first record, the new record, and also the Elected at Symphony show that I did with a 70-piece orchestra. So it's quite exciting for me to be able to you know, kind of jump from the band experience to the solo experience to playing with orchestra to kind of putting it all together in the end. And, yeah, it's fun.
To say the least. Man, you're a busy boy. Man, that's fantastic, man. You're so impressive. Everybody's got big smiles on their faces over here, and we're really we're really inspired by all that you do. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and we'll be
my pleasure. I'm inspired by you guys as well. Thank you.
We'll be looking on SergeTankian.com to look at your website. Make sure we're up to date on your tour schedule so we can see you in the LA area when you come here. And so
thank you
so much, Serge. This has been such an honor. It was wonderful talking to you, and I'm sure our listeners at home are just thrilled to hear you, and we wish you all the best.
Yeah.
It's been my pleasure, Rick and Lauren. Thank you guys very, very much.
Oh, no, thank you.
Take good care.
Cool, you too.
All right, take care, Serge.
Have a good day, guys. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Welcome back, everybody.
Thank you.
We're here with you live. And we were just enjoying the interview, just remembering our time with Serge. And we're glad all of you are out there listening. We're seeing everyone chatting here, so we're keeping an eye on what you're saying. And we know you're there. And we'll be taking you with us as we go into this next part of the show so we can do some healing and drumming together.
Good. Are they keeping the chat clean?
Oh, yes.
Good. I'm sure with Jen at the helm there, I think, keeping them in order.
I feel like, did you ever watch Romper Room when you were little?
Yeah.
And you walk around with a basket on your head, and they have the mirror, and the lady says, I see Angie and Judy and Robert. I see Vicky. I see Joe. And that's what I feel like doing with our people on the chat tonight, because we see you all right here in front of us.
Yeah, it's great.
See you all. So we'd love for you to sit with us and do some drumming and really focus your intention on your own healing and generating that out. In the interview, we talked about energy transfer, which is very powerful. And from our little hub here in Los Angeles, we're going to be thinking about you, and as we drum, creating a sacred connection to all of you with our thoughts and our hearts.
That's right. Well, the reason we didn't do a show was because we were actually in England. And
last month, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. And my father hasn't been he hasn't been as well as we would like. So that's something else. If you could send your thoughts, your prayers towards my father, it would be really good, and it would be very much appreciated by all of us.
Mm.
So,
yeah, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everyone. So just situate yourself in a really relaxing place in the room, and it's time to just unplug cell phones and. Take this time for yourself to connect. Now remember, you don't need a drum. You can just sit and absorb the energy and be with us and enjoy the rhythm. Or you can, improvise on what kind of instrument you used to create rhythm with. We are going to focus this time of healing to create balance and acknowledge the busyness of our mind and how our mind is sometimes a saboteur, how it sabotages us listening to our heart. And we'll enter into the realm of spiritual warriorship as we do this. So take a deep breath into the top of your head. Have your feet flat on the floor and exhale that breath and bring it all the way down through your torso, down through your legs, and exit the exhale out through the soles of your feet. And continue this breath. And as you breathe, allow the thoughts you have just to flow in and out. And if you find yourself sticking on one thought, take that deep breath and send it out. And when you're ready, we'll start to drum. Visualize all of us together. Taking deep breaths. Focus your attention on any pain you have in your body. And bring your breath there. Give yourself permission to release the pain. Let go. Deep breath. Focus your attention on your heart and the inner landscape that's holding any pain, emotional pain. Take a deep breath and exhale, release it. Let the rhythm carry it. send this energy, this intention out to people you love. People who have hurt you. So we all can heal together. Can feel your body in the chair. Stay connected with your physical body. Your mind's eye, create space in your heart, in your body, to bring into your life and into your heart things that are going to serve you and empower you, bring you closer to spirit, to your purpose. Just allow it to come in. Take a deep breath. Just relax your body. Take a moment of silence. Take this moment to have compassion for yourself, for your heart. And slowly allow yourself to move and come back into the room with your presence, with your mind. Let Rick come off the drum kit and come join us again.
Oh, you're a bit sweaty there.
That was great. That was really great. I feel everybody so strongly, and I know there's quite a few people that are going through really big changes in their lives right now, those of you who are listening. And we hope that this brief moment we get to spend together can hold you and support you. And we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call. You know, just call us and let us know what you're thinking, if you have any questions. I know some of you are saying that you are shy. But we are too, believe it or not. That's why we're doing this in a studio, hidden away in the trees. But we'd love to hear from you. This one other thing I'd like to just talk about before we take a call, and that's our Raven Drum community, which is really cool. And we just did a chat recently from England, and that's from the Raven Drum site. RavenDrum.com, and we'll be having another one in September. We don't have a date yet, but we join you. We ask you to come and be a part of that.
No, that'd be really good. We we really enjoyed the chat we did from England. We didn't have the chance to do the show, like I said, because you know, we've been in England for a month, but we really enjoyed just connecting with people through you know, through the internet in that way. It was good. Do we have any calls?
You know, I'm having trouble with the switchboard right now.
That's okay. We could zip right along to the magic sack if you'd like.
We do have a prize, and the prize is a very buff picture of Rick.
Oh, is it me? I thought it was of Preston.
No.
No?
No, it's a very buff picture of Rick leaning against a manly wood pile.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and so you'll be able to win that and, you know, hang it on your bathroom wall or...
I don't know, yeah. Put it in the, Put it in the toilet. Yes. Very funny. So do you want to take calls, or do you want to do the magic sack, as it were?
We may have to go right into the winner, because for some reason I'm just not getting anybody on the line. So.
Okay.
We have your names here, all of our friends, and those of you who have signed on as friends on the Blog Talk Radio, Resiliency Radio, your name has a chance to win this wonderful prize. And once your name is called, you really do need to contact us very soon so that you can win it.
Good.
So just contact us through the Blog Talk Radio email, and Jen will be in touch with you, and we'll send you out this wonderful gift.
Fantastic. Well, would you... Oh, dear.
Are you ready for that?
I just want to keep going with the music. It's like... Okay. Could you hold my sack for me?
All right, here we go. Rather large.
Very good, Press. Fantastic, man. I'd like for you to read this out for me.
We have a winner.
This print is getting small. Oh! Begins with R, I believe.
Rambo 142. Rambo. You have a very manly buff picture of Mr. Allen coming your way.
I'm sure Rambo 142... knows all about being buff.
Alright. So make sure to get in touch with us through our Blog Talk Radio email, and you will receive your prize, Rambo. So now I am on the switchboard, and I actually I have a call here from Robin from Ohio, and I want to put you on the air, Robin. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's this Rambo thing?
Rambo is the winner of an autographed picture of Rick.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It's still Sylvester.
I don't know. I'm not sure. It might be the real guy. So, do you have a question for us?
Wait. Is this Lauren?
This is Lauren.
Oh my God! Hi.
Hi.
Can Rick hear me too?
Yeah, of course. I'm right here. I'm listening to every word, and I'm you know, I'm here. It's nice to have you on.
What about the music thing about how it was, like, how it helps people, and I used to be in this depression thing because I was going through that school, and then my dad was an alcoholic, and my brother's constantly in the hospital. And all these bad things are going on, and then I was listening to, like, all these depressing music. So when I heard Def Leppard, and it just made me so happy. It sounded happy to me, and it really changed my life, and I thank you a lot for it. I love you, all of Def Leppard, and Steve, everybody.
That's fantastic. I appreciate that. And that just goes to prove that when there's good intention behind the music, that it can really help people experience themselves in a better way. You know, it's not always good to gravitate to music that makes you feel sad. I mean, there's a time and a place for all different kinds of music, but especially when you're feeling down, it's good to listen to music that really pumps you up, that gets you to feel inspired or joyful again, you know. So
that's exactly what it was.
Good. Well, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you.
Yes, and I'm nervous to fuck right now.
Oh, that's okay. We are too.
Yeah, we thank you for calling. We really appreciate it. Call anytime, okay?
Okay. Are you guys definitely going on tour next year?
I think so. That's the general idea, but you know, it's I can't really say until
it's definite.
Yeah.
Until it's definite. Yeah.
But I'd like to come out and see people. But thank you. I hope people get to listen to Def Leppard music because of your suggestion that it makes you feel good. So thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Have a good night. Okay.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Okay.
Take care.
All right.
Okay.
Bye bye.
We have Judy calling from Thousand Oaks on the line. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
Hi, Judy.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Great. Good to hear
good.
You.
Good. I just want to ask you guys what you would suggest. I know there's a lot of people out there that probably have a lot of blood pressure issues with things that are going on
seconds.
In their lives these days and, you know, work problems and such. What would you suggest that we do to relieve some of that extra energy that we shouldn't have?
Well, because of blood pressure or just extra energy, extra stress that you're carrying?
I think it's the stress.
Well, first, there's a few things, and I need to be brief because we have about 60 seconds before we end the show,
okay.
Unfortunately. But the first thing is paying attention to your thoughts.
60 seconds.
Right.
Paying attention to when you're in a place of stress. And consciously breathing. Oxygen can help us change our blood pressure very quickly, change our heart rate. Also, watching the foods you eat, a diet that's low sodium, that's not a lot of caffeine, and then surrounding yourself with non-stressful things, environments, things that make you calm and relax. I mean, they're all basic common sense things, but really practicing them can help you achieve a lower stress life. So I hope that answers your question. I just want to thank everybody for calling in and for being here. Unfortunately, we're going to run out of time.
Yeah, sorry about that, but there are some pointers on the website, so go there. The 21 Ways to Resiliency is fantastic. So, but thank you for calling.
10 seconds.
All right, we'll see you on the next show in September, and also come visit us on the Raven Drum community site for a live chat coming up in a few weeks, too. So good night, everybody.
Yeah, good night, everybody. Thanks again.